Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 12:38 p.m. and that is Pacific time. And today, being July 4th, the U.S. markets are shut. Now, I did think that it's interesting that today we have the Independence Day holiday in the USA, and there are a couple of instances around the world where regulators seem to be attempting to put people in a position where their right to free speech is being, or their, and their right to access their own funds are being questioned. So it's probably not a bad time to start thinking about some of these questions. I saw an article today that a housewife in Queensland wasn't able to get her money out of the bank. They wouldn't give her cash. So there's this increasing trend towards the vilification of cash among the among regulators and among the banking sector, and there's an attitude that if you have cash, they must be dirty. That it's not just your money, but that if you insist on holding cash, it must be for some kind of nefarious purpose, or that you got that cash as the result of a nefarious action. Of course, what it might be a better reflection of is that governments are broke and they want to clamp down on any possible way that a financial transaction might occur outside of their oversight and ability to tax. So that obviously is the objective of governments, that they want to be able to tax every transaction, not simply those that they can monitor. So they're creating a system where they will be monitoring everything. Now, the Australian banks are rebounding from the lower side of their range and testing the region of the 200-day moving average. Now, this is the ASX 300 banks, so it's all of the financials. Oh, excuse me, it's all the banks without the financials in the, at least the big ones in the Australian market. And this index has been basically going sideways for 8 years, so it's going to need to sustain a move above 9,000 in order to confirm a return to demand dominance. And when we then think about the ASX 200, it's also firming here within the range. Now, there's been a broad upward bias overall for the last several years, but a lot of volatility in between. But it is firming from the region of the 7,000 area. And I'm reasonably friendly with Nigel Farage, and I really find that it is a terrible set of conditions where he's been refused access to banking in the UK. And he posted on his Twitter account a couple of days ago that he's been to nine banks and had his business refused from all of them. Now, it's not, well, I would have assumed that it is not a bank's responsibility to police free speech, but regulators are terrified of getting on the wrong side of the mob. And they've obviously seen what's happened to companies like Anheuser-Busch. And Anheuser did not understand who their actual end market is, and they obviously insulted quite a few of them. And that has resulted in the share continuing to fall. Hasn't fallen a lot, but it is certainly coming back down. Well, UK banks are certainly still trending higher, and there's a sequence of higher reaction lows. So they are taking higher interest rates in their stride, and they are obviously raising interest rates faster than they're raising deposit rates, and that's helping profitability. Of course, at some stage, that's also going to filter the knock-on effects of tighter interest rates are going to have an impact. Then I think, but I think it will be very clear from the chart action when that is being priced in by investors. Now, in Japan, the Topix Banks Index has popped on the upside. So this is a new 8-year high, and we need to get a lot of back history to put the depth of the 15-year base formation into perspective. So Topix Banks had a really powerful move in 2003 through to about 2006 and then gave it all up and went into this incredibly prolonged base formation. but it is now breaking on the upside. Now, it hasn't looked this bullish since about 2015. And that is, of course, on the assumption that some of the inflation that Japan now has will help to erode the outstanding debts within the banks, that they will be able to have a better margin overall. And of course, they are benefiting from the continued commitment to yield curve control by the Bank of Japan, and that yields are starting to come back down. There's been a lot of discussion about the JGB yield and whether they would abandon the yield curve control, but with the yield continuing to march back down from the last retest of the 50 basis point level, that would suggest that investors are at least willing to give the benefit of the doubt to the possibility that the Japanese are going to hold on to it. And the yen has been particularly weak over the last 3 or 4 months, and it is pausing right now. I do apologize. I'm recording from the apartment we've rented here in Phoenix, and there's a child outside bawling its eyes out. So I do apologize if that's coming through on the microphone. But the yen is a little oversold in the short term, and there is the possibility, at least, that we might get at least some pause and consolidation. But I don't see that there's going to be much in the way of clear efforts to strengthen the currency. Now, the Nikkei, despite the fact that the banks were in very strong positive territory today, the Nikkei was in negative territory, pausing in the region of the upper side of this shorter term range. Now, it is worth highlighting that this range that's been underway now for the last month is both longer and slightly deeper than the ranges that preceded it. So that's less consistent. And the 32,000 level needs to hold if the benefit of the doubt is to continue to be given to the upside. One thing that we're also now, I think, increasingly starting to see is that hedged exposure to Japan, or demand for hedged exposure to Japanese instruments, is improving. And the WisdomTree Japan Hedged Fund, Equity Fund, it continues to extend its breakout. As we think then about what's happening in the broader commodity markets, it's really just up one day, down the next with Brent crude, and the price unwound the intraday decline yesterday, and it's up about $1.60 in here today. Still hasn't broken the very short-term sequence of lower rally highs within this range. This kind of inert trading environment does not last indefinitely, and when it breaks, it will do so likely in a dynamic fashion. But my bet is that the eventual break was likely to be on the downside, but we will see eventually. But when it does break, it's going to be dynamic. Now, gold prices were steadier in here today, holding the $1,900 area, and has not quite yet broken the sequence of lower rally highs. But I think that when we think about the medium-term outlook, eventually, I think what's happening in New Zealand, or what and the New Zealand Central Bank has been very forthright with the population, saying that a recession is required to get inflation under control. And it's exactly the same thing everywhere else. It's just that central banks are afraid to talk about it. So the Bank of England has been perhaps the most aggressive of the major economies in talking up the potential for a recession and raising interest rates, because in many respects they are limited to talking the market down, because they have this issue with floating rate mortgages, so they can't raise rates as fast or as far as they might like. The Federal Reserve has a mandate to try and avoid a recession, but that doesn't mean that they're not going to. Well, then that's not strictly true either, because what they really need to do is to control inflation and to maintain full employment. That says nothing about a recession, but full employment, that's not compatible with avoiding a recession indefinitely. Eventually, they will have to create a recession in order to hit demand so that they can get inflation under control. And they won't lend assistance until unemployment, which is a lagging indicator, then starts to move around. And of course, that is also the primary reason why central banks often overshoot. And it is quite likely that is what the kind of situation we're in right now, where we know that the delinquency rates on commercial property continue to rise. And we know that we have inverted yield curves and we have tightening liquidity globally, but we have stock markets that remain really quite firm. And if we just simply look at a European gauge, for example, the Europe Stoxx 600 is firming from the region of the 200-day moving average. And if we look at the MSCI World, then what we're also presented with is an index that is pulling away from the region of the 200-day moving average. So investors are willing to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside and pretty much ignoring the fact that central banks are raising interest rates. And those two factors, that's not going to last indefinitely. So stock market investors are pretty much betting that central banks are going to be cutting interest rates before very long. And of course, when that happens, it's not likely to be beneficial for the currency of debtor nations that then give up on raising interest rates and a tighter monetary environment. And that will be beneficial for precious metals. But we're not quite there just yet. But I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.